Well, good morning. How many believe that the miracle worker's in the house?
Amen.
I came, and I know I came expecting. I came expecting from God regardless of the circumstance. And I'm receiving His Holy Spirit this morning to work miracles. Hallelujah. I'm going to do a little message this morning called The God of the Hard Place. Say it with me. The God of the Hard Place. He is the God of the Hard Place. And I'll explain all that to you. In Genesis 18:14, God reveals Himself as the God of the hard place to Abraham and Sarah and his seed after him. So we're his seed. We're the children of Abraham by faith in Jesus Christ. So Galatians 3:5-9, that's our text this morning. He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Because you'll never earn a miracle by your own efforts. He therefore that even as Abraham believed God, so we need to look at how Abraham believed God. God made him a promise. It was God's idea. It was what God wanted to accomplish through Abraham. And that's how he believed. He believed in that promise. And it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. Now, there was a time that I was the heathen. And when I put my faith in Jesus Christ, He justified me as though I never sinned. God would justify the heathen through faith, preach before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed. So they which are be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Now, Abraham was faithful. He believed the promise that God made him. You know, he didn't perfectly believe sometimes, or he tried to fulfill the promise. And well, I don't want to get into that part of it, but Abraham was faithful to believe what God had promised him. He was faithful to believe that. And we need to learn to be faithful to believe God's promises. Now, in Genesis 18:14, if you look at the whole chapter of Genesis, which we're not going to do this morning, but it's a profound chapter where God promised Abraham and Sarah a son. And And then is it Genesis 18:14 says, is anything too hard? Now just note that word hard. Is anything too hard for the Lord at the time appointed? And obviously the promise that God made Abraham was at the time appointed. All promises have the reality of a time appointed. And for Abraham, the example that he sets for us is that there was an appointed time where Sarah would conceive. It was a miracle because she was already 90 years old and couldn't have children. At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life. It's an amazing miracle that happened. And Sarah shall have a son. Now, we could spend specific time talking about all this, the facts of all this. We got a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman. And the reality of it is they probably couldn't have sexual relations anymore. And God makes them a promise. Now, if they were going to tell anybody about that, they would, of course, be labeled insane. They couldn't have a son, not at that age. And the only difference is God really promised them a son. And of course, if we wanted to get further into the details of the story, Sarah laughed, and you don't realize what that means. I found out what it means. The Holy Spirit will enable, and how many know Isaac's name was Laughter? Okay, now there's laughter and there's laughter. There's just natural laughter, and there is divine laughter. I found out how that works to some degree. I saw it happen. I started, laughing. And guess what? The next day, I received a profound miracle through the anointing of laughter. And that's another whole teaching in itself. Isaac's name is Laughter. God works miracles. The Holy Spirit will anoint you to laugh. And he will anoint you to laugh at something God promised that is a total impossibility, or something that would be very difficult and very hard. Now, I'm not much of a laugher, but there were a few times that all of a sudden I'm just laughing. I knew it was divine. I knew it was the Holy Spirit. And I won't go any further into that. I saw a profound miracle worked. So did Abraham and Sarah. They had Isaac, and God made sure that he named Isaac Laughter, because he was going to work through laughter. He was going to work miracles through laughter. Okay. So let's just move on right now, because that's another teaching that would take quite a bit of time for me to put together and teach. Well, I already taught most of it, but it's a reality that we overlook. Laugh at your impossibilities. Laugh at them. Don't grieve over them. Rejoice over them with laughter. Laughter and singing, you know, and dancing. And I'm not a good one. The Holy Spirit's emphasizing this. It's just, instead of being mentally in bondage to that impossibility, you know, just start to, you know, I've tried to do it where I just, ha, 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 ha. Huh? No. But I just want to make you aware of that. That Sarah, and I didn't get into the, it, you can read Genesis 18 where Sarah laughed when God promised her a son. Okay, she laughed because it was an impossibility. Now, there are times in life that we all face impossibilities. And, in Genesis 18, 14, the Bible calls him the God of the hard place. Abraham and Sarah were in a hard place. And then, is anything too hard? Now, that word hard, in Genesis 18:14, is anything too hard for the Lord? God emphasized that statement and then God made him a promise that at the time appointed, and as I said, all promises are appointed. And that's why the Bible talks about that today is the day of salvation. When you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. All the promises of salvation are appointed to us. Healing is appointed, and it's for now. Okay. And so the Hebrew word for hard is pala, P-A-L-A. Everybody say it, pala. Pala. Which carries the context to mean making impossible things wonderful. Pala. Say it with me, pala. Making impossible things wonderful. Now, we don't have an age excuse because Abraham didn't have an age excuse. You know, you hear a lot, you're told over and over and over, over and over and over, over and over and over that you're too old. That's why you're having these problems and so on and so forth. You're so... That lie is so ingrained into you that you don't realize subconsciously how you listen to those lies over and over and over. And you're listening to things that are counterproductive to the promises of God. And then we wonder why we can't believe them. Because you've heard discouragement over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And you've listened to very little of the truth of Scripture. Hard, impossible, pale to be suppressed, surpassing or extraordinary. Pale means to surpass all human expectation. To see the work of God, the extraordinary work of God that He can do. That's why Ephesians 3:20 says that He's able to do, you know, we've always struggled with that scripture, now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ask or think according to the power that works in us. Sarah could have never asked or thought unless God had promised it. You know, the New Testament, Ephesians 3:20, to show oneself wonderful or marvelous in a difficult need that is beyond one's power to do. That's why you feel helpless. Because you can't do it on your own, and we've tried all of our life to do it on our own. And we're still trying. I'm not saying there aren't some things you should do. I'm just saying that there are, if you were 100 years old and your wife was 90, good luck. No matter what you would do, you would not, within human possibility, have a child. It isn't going to happen. And there are obviously promises not, you know, that weren't made to you. They're not going to happen if God didn't make them. And so that's why we always need to remember the Red Sea crossing. No, you're never going to stand on the shore of the Red Sea. Probably not. That's not the point. The Red Sea crossing, again, shows a surpassing extraordinary event that was impossible for the children of Israel to fulfill. You know, they're all thinking, my God, why did God lead me here? Makes no sense. You know, Moses led them to the Red Sea. Bad judgment. You know, and then on top of that, he's got the Egyptian army is there to kill them all, and God holds them off. And He works a surpassing, extraordinary miracle. Okay, to prove that nothing is impossible. You can be in a situation where in your mind, it's impossible. And you're right, it's impossible. And so we find ourselves in impossible predicament, not seeing any way out. And I believe that sometimes these are places where God leads us to show us who He really is, the God in whom nothing is impossible. And we all will face impossibilities in our life, okay? That they're just beyond man's help. Sometimes people give the illusion that there can be help. Jeremiah 32:17 says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." Now, if you could comprehend what God did when He made the heavens and the earth, you would realize how impossible some things are going to be for us. Jeremiah 32:27, I don't know if we have that one up there or not, but yeah. "Behold, I am the Lord God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" Now, he noticed that he said flesh. Well, that caught my attention. We're dealing with these fleshly bodies here. But He's the God of our flesh. And so our objective of this teaching is to receive God as our personal God of our hard place. You need to personalize it. He is the God of your hard places. We are Abraham's seed, aren't we? All right. He's the God of your hard places. And believe me, you will come into hard places. And your mind and the world will say, "You are crazy." "You are a fool. This can never be done." I ask the Lord, you know, Lord, I want to move in the spirit of miracles. So we're receiving God as our personal. You know, you've got to get out of the battle in your mind that God doesn't care about you. He cares about you just as much as He cares about anyone else. Now today we're going to pray, you know, pray. There's really a serious attack in so many areas in people's minds. So many areas. Physical ones. And they have a spiritual root, like dementia, Alzheimer's disease. It's an epidemic in America, and the reason it is because of the food that is being poisoned that we're being fed. They ban all that stuff in Europe, all those chemicals that are poisoning people and destroying their mental faculties. And now that a lot of that stuff is being exposed, of course, the big corporations now are trying trying to change it, but they didn't care about your health when they sold you that garbage, when they put it in your food. And all the physical problems that it causes are just enormous. It's a fallen realm. And you're being a victim if you make yourself a victim. Our training is always about learning God's nature and our identity in Him. When we receive God, He is unchanging, unceasing, unfailing, almighty. Is anything too hard? Genesis 18:14, is anything too hard for the Lord? I'll read it again. At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. This came out of God's mouth. Now, if you're going to try and do that on your own, you aren't going to do it. Someone one time sent a promise to me and said, I don't disrespect it or anything like that, but they were just saying Tony's going to have a baby. Well, you know, I can believe that if it's from God. See what I'm saying? Now, let's go back over the meaning of Pela. Don't let me get in trouble here. Satan, here I am in trouble already. Satan is the god of this world. He rules it. He controls it. He wants to bring this whole world. And it will come through crisis. People will receive the devil's complete control through crisis. And it'll all look like a real good thing until they start receiving the mark of the beast. It's all about, it will all be about control as a result of, well, don't get me started on that teaching, but it's, so let's go back. The Hebrew word for hard is Pela. Say it with me again. Pela. Which carries the context to mean making difficult, impossible things wonderful. Impossible things wonderful. Something to rejoice in, to glorify God in. Something that when it happens to you, you know it's God. You have a lifelong testimony of what God did for you, even though, you know, others may never understand it. And I don't always understand it. And I've told the testimony, I've had many, many testimonies of what things God did. And I've told it over and over about the time I was sitting right there. And God just out of the blue. And these miracles aren't anything you tried to work up or create, they happen spontaneously. I mean, they just happen. God just speaks. And you know it was God. And he just said, go up here. I was right on that second step, and he says, I'm going to give you new knees. Because I wore mine out from stupid stuff. Track and all that stuff. And he gave me new knees. I don't know what, you know, I'm not, I would never try and prove it scientifically. I don't have to. It was a miracle. God does work miracles. I was surprised. I didn't expect it in that sense of the word. Didn't expect it. It just happened spontaneously. Who's going to understand that? Who's going to know but me that it really happened? And I've had several miracles of that nature. So when Pela is used with God as its subject, it is expressed actions that are beyond the bounds of human powers and expectations. Something many times you may have never, ever expected. You know, I've had financial miracles where I woke up and God would, you know, speak to me, and all of a sudden there's a miracle. It wasn't anything I planned for, earned. And I always used to say it's a God thing. And we can all agree with David in Psalm 18:23. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. We know with the type of miracle that God worked for Abraham and Sarah that it could only be God's doing. There was no possible way they could take credit for that miracle other than they believed it. They received it. Have you ever found yourself in an impossible predicament, not seeing any way of escape? I sure have. I sure do. And these places may be where God leads us to show us who God really is. And this world, of course, is full of unbelief. And sometimes God will lead you to your Red Sea by divine appointment. To make a way where it is humanly impossible to make a way. And so God had a purpose in bringing the people to the Red Sea. And them being there did not happen by chance or by Moses misleading them. And right away they're accusing Moses, you know. And most of the time, you know, we live by human reason. And that defeats us every time. And yet they were at the the Red Sea by divine appointment. It looked, they were helpless. It looked hopeless. And yet God brought them forth through a profound miracle. You know, the Egyptian army at their back. And God did something astonishing. Not only that, he defeated their enemies. All those Egyptians drowned that were going to be there to kill us, kill them. So God had a purpose in bringing his people to the Red Sea. And them being there did not happen by chance, by Moses misleading them. They were there by divine appointment. God's timing is always perfect. And he never intended the Israelites to stay as slaves, although they kept crying about wanting to go back to Egypt. They did a terrible, committed terrible sins of unbelief. And so the word of the Lord, and I'm done here, but the word of the Lord through Moses made it perfectly clear and provided the vision, purposed by God, and faith to come out of Egyptian bondage and God through the wilderness into the promised land. And of course, it's obvious that nothing ever happens without your faith being tested. Nothing. You'll never have a miracle without your faith being tested. And so I've got their background, but I'm not going to go over all that. But say Palo with me. Just always remember that, Pela. Say it all the time.